Hi, it's Phil Hendry. Welcome to episode 127 of the Phil Hendry Podcast. It's brought to you by Amazon.com, Audible, Sherry's Berries, and PhilHendryShow.com. Now, that is the worldwide headquarters of the Phil Hendry Show. That's where you will find the largest collection of a single radio show anywhere on the World Wide Web. We've got full radio shows of a great radio show. I hate saying that myself. I wish I could hire James Earl Jones or Dennis Haysbert or, you know, somebody with authoritative pipes to say it's the greatest show, but I have to say it myself because we're in a recession. It's an economic downturn, and all egos must do their own bidding. In any event, please go to philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass. Okay, we've burned up all that time. Let's get now to episode 127. R.C. Collins is going to join us. By the way, R.C. Collins, just to give you a little background because people like that, the R.C. Collins character started as a voice. He started as, well, you may expect, Rocky the Squirrel in Miami. When I was doing my show in Miami, we actually did a Rocky and Bullwinkle bit where they're both, I mean, it's kind of tasteless, but it was sort of funny. They're in a concentration camp. And anyway, so we were doing Rocky and Bullwinkle bits, and someone liked that Rocky voice so much, you know, that, and I liked it too. I said, well, what else can we do with the Rocky voice? And we turned that Rocky the Squirrel voice into R.C. Collins, a goth kid who later became, as you'll see here, a military cadet kid who's talking about how he, even though he's in his little military academy, he is pitching in for the Iraq war effort. Here he is, R.C. Collins, episode 127 of the Phil Hendry Podcast.
Talking about the war in Iraq, we have a young man, a soldier. He's a cadet at Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, and he wanted to just give us a frontline view because I've wanted to. The one guy we haven't heard from in all of this is the guy who is fighting there in Iraq right now. You're a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, sir?
Yes, sir, that's correct. I'm a junior cadet at Bradley Altadena.
And what is your name?
My name's R.C. Collins.
And, R.C., this is, you're a junior cadet. You wanted to talk about how the military is feeling right now?
Yes, sir. I wanted to just speak on behalf of the almost 500,000 men and women in the ITO that we're okay, we're a little bit tired. The heat's increasing, but it's nothing we haven't trained for, and we all know that we've got a mission to complete, and we're on that mission, and we will complete it.
Okay, now when you say ITO, by the way, so we can get...
Well, yes, sir, that is the Iraqi Theater of Operations.
All right. And you are in Iraq right now?
No, sir, we are not currently. We are still here at the academy. We're engaged in combat review right now.
What is that?
It's doing support from the academy. We monitor all CNN or Fox or MSNBC, and we get an overview. Sometimes... You know, we get a little tired. I just want to stop and have a glass of water, something as simple as that. But we're on it.
All right, but you're not in Iraq. You're in the United States. Does it matter in the military world? Because I do not have any military experience. Does it matter in the military world if you were in a war zone or not?
No, sir, it doesn't. We're a team. In the military, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, and the military academies, whenever one has success, we've all been there, and we have had a hand in the operations. And right now, I'm monitoring us in the Saddam Airport, and I can tell you that it was a heck of a fight.
So you were not at the airport, but as a part of the team, you do have that experience.
That's correct, and I'm very proud of myself and everybody else that I served with, and we got the job done.
But if you're 10,000 miles away,
well, let me explain how we do things in the military, Mr. Henry. An army is a team. It thinks and acts as a team. We're all in this together. I can tell you during the first hours of the war, I was scared as we drove into Iraq. But after the first firefights, I got into my rhythm and we all did the job.
But where were you?
I was here at the academy. But
okay, so that's something that a lot of people will need to understand. You weren't in Iraq, but... It's considered that you guys were in combat anyway.
Yes, sir, that's right. So let's see if I can explain what I'm saying. It's like you are on the same team that attacked the airport. And so, as such, I do have the distinction of having had combat experience.
What is combat experience like? Again, I've never been in the military.
Have you ever had a near-death experience?
I have had one of those.
Well, I can tell you, it's like getting close to death. It makes life taste a little bit sweeter. You don't know what you got until you're in combat, and I can give you an example. Myself and Cadet Meeker, we were monitoring the Fox News channel, and we were watching the battle for Saddam Airport, and the target had big importance, and I was afraid the whole time, and I just told myself, there's nothing wrong with being afraid, it's just working through it. And when we secured the airport, I guess I just turned the TV off and I went to bed. But it was tough the first 48 hours.
So watching television, and if I'm slow, but watching TV, you're watching the war on television. That's the same as being in actual combat?
Okay, I see I got my work cut out for me.
And forgive me if I'm not understanding.
Well, look, I'll walk you through it.
Because if I'm not understanding...
Well, I'll walk you through it. In the military, we work as a team, all five branches of the military, the Air Force, Marines, Navy, Army, and military academies, under the Commander-in-Chief, what is the President. When we go into combat, we're a team. We live as a team. We fight as a team. And God forbid, we'll die as a team. And when we went into combat in Iraq, especially the airdrops in northern Iraq, that was a big moment for me. And you aren't... So you don't get that?
So even though you weren't in Iraq, you might as well have been there.
Exactly. We were there because the team's there. And someday you, Mr. Henry, you might have the experience of dropping into a hot LZ. But,
All right. We're talking with R.C. Collins. He is a military academy cadet. You called the show, R.C., to give people a little front line.
Well, just to give people an idea of our morale. It's very, very good. We feel we're fighting for a very good thing. To topple Saddam Hussein, and I just want the American people to know that we're all right.
All right, but you're not in Iraq. You're at the military academy, but you're saying that you don't have to be in the theater.
No, not if you're a member of the. You're all together in that. And I did want to say one thing, if I could.
Yes, sir.
As a soldier, I do have the right to comment on the battle plan, and I think this one. I think we're going to fill a lot of body bags. It's what we call FUBAR.
Is that fouled up beyond all recognition?
Well, it's a little bit stronger than that, but I just think these guys, the guys who are in the flat hats at command, they ought to come down where the fighting is because their operational plan's definitely FUBAR.
We're covering a lot of ground here with Military Academy Cadet R.C. Collins, who says that even though he's not in...
Well, I think you're hitting that a little.
Am I paying too much attention to that?
Yes, sir, you are. Anybody in the military knows that no matter who goes into combat, even the guys back home in the States, they're in combat too.
Is that reflected in the ribbons that you get?
I think so. I think, for instance, what I would like having on my gravestone, one of the things that we get is we get to be buried in a military cemetery. So I would like to have on my headstone, for instance, veteran of Iraq War. The veterans of foreign wars, as you know, Mr. Henry, only allow... veterans of combat into their organization, and that would qualify me.
And that is the VFW?
Yes, sir, that is the VFW, which is slightly different from the American Legion. But I would like to have, you know, just simple things like that. And if I survive this, I...
Okay, see, that's the thing, R.C., when we talk about the war, it's not like you're not going to survive because you're sitting here in America.
Yeah, but see, that's the tricky part because you're denigrating my... combat experience.
Well, I don't want to denigrate any combat experience or perceived combat experience that you have, but you're not really in combat. You just feel that you are a combat veteran because you're part of an army that is in combat. But how are you going to, what do you mean survive this?
If I die during the Iraq War.
How are you going to die? You're not there.
No. I could die in an automobile accident. I could die in any kind of an accident. Just one of our cadets 6 months ago was killed in a threshing machine back home where he's from. And that, if a war had been on...
So he would have died in combat?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I think it... Do you think, and I would give you this opinion, do you think it denigrates the combat veterans, for instance, if a guy died from drunk driving while he's in uniform and while there's a war on?
He would be a combat death.
But isn't that insulting to the guys who are really over there?
Sir, I think any man that dies in the line...
Yeah, but a guy that dies from drunk driving, how's he dying in the line?
If he's in uniform and dies while a war is on, he has died in the line of duty.
So one guy gets killed from a hand grenade charging Saddam International Airport. Another guy in uniform dies driving drunk down Pacific Coast Highway. Both of those guys are equal in the eyes of the military.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, sir. You know, I don't think it's for a civilian like you to start to, you know, apprise the situation. Leave that to the military.
And I'm the first guy to admit that I don't have any combat experience, and I don't know the code of conduct or the protocol in the military, but this young man is a member of a military academy, one of the five branches of the... Now, I want to have that double-checked, so there's...
There's actually six. I'm sorry to say. There's the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, and Military Academy. So there's six branches of the military.
All right, you're in the...
I'm in a military academy.
All right, and he is saying that the Army, and of course it is a very, it's a very familial and fraternal sense that when one part of the team is in combat, the whole team is in combat, even though it's a tough one for me to get as a civilian, and maybe some of you, because he's back at a military academy watching it on TV, and the other guys are over there fighting it. We're speaking with Cadet R.C. Collins of the Bradley Military Academy in Altadena. He has come on to express just the feelings of the frontline soldiers in Iraq. You are you're in the United States, but you consider yourself a combat veteran?
Well, I think what you need to stop doing, Mr. Henry, is saying I consider myself like I am a combat veteran because I am a part of the larger military structure of the United States. And if I could, I'd like to just mention one thing.
Well, we do have some phone calls we want to get to. And I have some questions.
Well, I understand that, sir, but I wanted to mention, and it's a little tough to get to, but you and I have been talking here for the last 20 minutes or so, and I don't mean any disrespect, sir, but you have not said thank you to me or acknowledged the service.
Well, I would tell you, I do not in any way, shape, or form want to denigrate the service of our men and women, and if I am being... No, I do thank... you for serving our country, and I thank all the men and women of our armed forces.
Well, it's something that's expected, and you are welcome, and I guess we can move on.
Here is Jeff on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, good evening. I'd like to, first of all, give a big thumbs up and a thank you to all our fellow soldiers over there in Iraq.
Absolutely.
I'd just like to explain something that maybe isn't clear to this gentleman. There's a protocol in the U.S. military, especially in the Army, and I served in the Ranger Detachment for the 8th Infantry Division for 4 years in Germany.
Was you in combat?
No, I was not in combat, but let me tell you, there were folks in my unit who had been, and the protocol is when you go to combat, that unit patch that you wear on your left shoulder, you are now authorized by the U.S. Army to wear that patch on your right shoulder. If your unit has not been deployed into a theater of combat, you are not authorized to wear that patch on that right shoulder, and you are not indeed a combat veteran.
What about that?
It does degrade those folks who have served and put their life on the line. I'm not saying that the service of the soldiers in the United States is any less meaningful, but you're not a combat veteran unless you've been to combat.
What about that, R.C.?
Well, the gentleman's mistaken in one area. Yes, he's right. The combat patch means you were really in the combat. I mean, where most of the bullets were being shot. But where I am is still combat, but I'm in a review area.
No, the United States is not a combat theater, and I would...
You said ITO. You said ITO, R.C.
That's the Iraqi Theater of Operation, yeah.
Okay, is the United States...
Where our military academy is, yes. Every base, every naval base, every army base, every military academy is part of the ITO. That's
so
what my understanding is.
As a former veteran of the military and not just a military school, I would beg to differ with you 100%. If you are not in the ITO, you are not a combat veteran of this engagement. Not at all.
CRC.
I don't want to degrade your commitment to this country or your patriotism. Don't take me wrong.
R.C., you're not in the military.
Excuse me. I'm in a military academy, and I would like you to have some respect for that.
No, I understand that, but I also know a number of people that I went to school with who, until you actually sign on that dotted line, graduate, and get your commission, you are not technically in the U.S. military.
Well,
you are about to enter
hippie.
The U.S. military.
It's a gray area.
You aren't in the military.
Sir, it's a gray area.
No, it's not a gray area, and you'd be perfectly honest with you. I take issue with what you're saying because it's disrespectful to me and every other person actually served in the military.
Well, I'd like to say also, sir, you know, and I don't mean to disrespect, but you're welcome. You're welcome.
For what?
I believe I started this conversation with a thank you and a thumbs up. Evidently, you weren't listening to that part of the conversation.
I meant to me specifically. I mean, that's a general thank you.
Well, thank you to all the troops. Thank you to you.
Well, if you give me a roster of every person in the U.S. military, I'd be glad to thank each and every one of them individually. This is an issue more about you.
One of the things is
you have this in your head is an issue about you rather than about the issue at hand, which is our men and women over there putting their lives on the
right.
line every day.
Right.
And you want to puff your shoulders out and say, yeah, I'm one of them. And reality says you're not. I spent 4 years in the Rangers.
Sir,
I'm not there, and I'm not a combat veteran.
I will give you this. I may not be at the top of my game right now. We just took a major military objective. I'm exhausted. We were watching it all night.
Yeah, you're exhausted from pushing them pencils around, buddy. Get real. Get real.
Well, I haven't been disrespectful.
You're insulting every man and woman who's over there putting their lives on the line, our POWs and our folks, MIA.
That's true.
It's
an
insult to those folks.
Well, sir, I'm not trying to insult them.
Well, you've done it whether you're trying to or not.
All right, listen, Jeff.
I take exception to that, sir. That, as a fellow
military... You can
military...
take exception all you want. Check
right.
it on your test on Monday.
All right, thank you, sir. R.C. Collins, a military academy cadet. Who feels that,
Sir, again, Mr. Henry, please, I don't feel, I know. I know.
All right, well, you say that no matter what branch of the military, you're a combat veteran, because as a team, you're all in this combat together. Here's Michael on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes, how you doing, gentlemen?
Yes, sir, fine.
Very good. I got the comments for you, cadet, and I'll be the first to tell you that I thank you for your determination and your aspirations to serve this country.
Thank you.
But I think that you have a lot of self-searching to do between your ears if you have any ideas that you have any combat experience. I'm glad that maybe you're instilled with the idea to get in the frame of mind and the emotion that, you know, you need to be in tune with what's going on and to feel a part of it. But if you think you have any ideas at all what it's like to be in combat by watching television, I'm sorry. You're not only not officer material, but if they continue to keep you in that academy with that kind of attitude, I pity the troops who might have to serve under you someday.
Sir, if you could repeat that, because I got lost. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff you're trying to say there. You know what I'm saying?
Because you're trying to pull a whole lot of stuff from a lot of other people that you have no idea what you're talking about.
Sir, all I'm trying to say is we took Sanham International Airport yesterday, and I'm a little tired.
You're tired because our troops took care of an airport somewhere else, and you watched them on TV. Listen, sir, lots of us are scared when we see these things happening. Lots of us are relieved and excited whenever we see positive results, but that doesn't mean that we're gaining combat experience either. I was a cadet. I know what it's like, and as a cadet,
right.
You do not even deserve from a PFC at this point yet, so don't even come across and say that you are part of this team.
But we're
you're
one of the six branches of the military.
You're training to be in a branch, and that's the bottom line.
Well,
sir.
I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong.
Yeah, and I think if you seriously feel where you're at, you better reconsider whether or not you're officer material. Cadet.
Okay, you're welcome, Michael. Well, I'm putting my rear end on the line. You're there playing mumbly peg with your buddies and a deer rifle.
Sir, you didn't ask what my military experience was.
Some gay blade.
All right. All right, sir, what are you calling this man names?
No, but there's some gay blade behind him.
All right, listen, thank you for your call.
Woo! Jesus.
All right. We're talking with R.C. Collins. What do you mean it's a gray area?
It's still a matter of interpretation of military. See, there's a thing called military law. And in the military, they have lawyers that know about it. It's a gray area if you... If you are in the military and they're having a war, you can be technically a combat veteran and go into the VFW and have shots and beers, just like everybody else.
R.C. Collins, Military Academy cadet, who believes he is a combat veteran, even though he's just watching the war on Fox from his dorm room. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. You need a checkup from the neck up.
The frontline soldier in Iraq and the Middle East, what does he or she feel? We have on the line a young man as a cadet at a military academy in Altadena who seems to think and I don't mean to disrespect you, but I have to couch it in these terms. Seems to think he knows what.
Talk much?
Seems to think he knows, and I would appreciate respect from you as I give it to you.
I'm sorry, sir.
Seems to think he knows what it's like to be in combat. And I say that...
Well, you're disrespecting me by making that statement.
Well, I'm not trying to disrespect you, but to say you are in the... Because you're in a military academy, you're part of the big team that's over there, and you might as well have combat experience, I think is wrong. And I think it oversimplifies the commitment of our men and women.
Look, Mr. Henry, Father has tied a yellow ribbon on the main gate of our home. We live in the Los Gatos area of Northern California, behind gates... Which I only bring that up to say this. It's funny how people will look down their noses on a young man who may have come from privilege, as I admittedly did. But I'm in there like every other grunt and dog face, ready to do the do. And I think that, like I said, it's not me you should be asking these questions of. You ought to be talking to all the flat hats at operational command, because this thing's FUBAR. And in my opinion, they're going to fill a lot of body bags before it's over with.
And I think that's demoralizing to people for you to say that.
Well, sir, until they've had the experience that I've had, I think, you know, it's a gray area.
Here is Michael. Go ahead, Michael.
I'm sorry. I had a good thing I was going to start in on, but you just said something that just threw me off the wall. You just said that they're going to, from your experience, you have experience. Let me tell you a little bit about my
experience. That's a gray area.
Okay? There is no gray. It's black or white. You're talking to a golf veteran from the first one. When I came back from golf one, I wasn't looking for thank yous. I was there because I was in the military. I was at Fort Bragg, paratrooper. I did my job because my government and my country said that's where you got to go.
I'm sorry, can I interrupt
that's where
you?
I went. No, hold on
just,
a second.
I misunderstood you.
You haven't got to that point yet.
Sir, I just misunderstood. You said you're a golf veteran.
I'm a golf one veteran, yes.
No, as in the game or...
No, golf.
Golf.
I'm sorry.
Pershing Golf. I was there with Desert Storm and Desert Shield.
PGA. You don't play golf.
Look, you know what he's saying.
I'm really wondering how old you are and if you really are a cadet, because you're not even acting or speaking to the intelligent level that cadets that I've seen in the military act.
Sir, I attend Bradley Military Academy, Altadena, California. I can certainly have our headmaster speak to you if you'd like, Commandant Wireman.
But that, I don't need that, because you can have put anybody on the phone, but you are not even speaking to the intelligent of a cadet. If you are a cadet, I would think you're a freshman. Because let me tell you this, being a combat veteran, which I can say I am, when you get put into the combat zone or theater, as you would like to say, you don't really know what a person is going to do or how a person is going to act until the stress that person's put under. You have not even seen the stress that you can be put under in a combat situation. Therefore, you cannot say you're a combat veteran until you are put into the theater, and the theater means in the location it's happening, not sitting at home watching it on TV. I hate to tell you this, but are not a combat veteran, and when you figure that out, you will figure out that you are trying to run on the coattails of everybody else that is over there.
Why do you say, RC, that you're in the theater? Because you're at a military academy?
Technically, the military bases and academies are part of the ITO.
No, technically they are not. Technically they are. They might be running training exercises to train you to be a soldier and using the real-world life experiences to put you in that theater so you can learn better.
Let me ask
but you are not in the theater. The theater is right now like Korea.
Let me
if
ask
you were stationed in Korea, you would be under the Korea theater.
The Korea theater.
You are not in Iraq.
I need to ask you something then. How come we saw... We watched and we felt every movement of the guys going into the Saddam International Airport, and at the end,
I was tired, I was sweating, I was dirty. You saw it and you watched it. You did not feel it.
Why was I tired?
You were tired. Were you physically tired because you had bullets flying past your head? Were you physically tired because you were running through a desert, through sand, carrying 45 pounds of rucksack on your back, carrying a 15-pound weapon, or, I'm sorry,
sir,
you were carrying the 60, carrying the ammo that goes along with it, plus the spare barrel. Being able to remember not only to fire that weapon, but to change barrels after a 1,000-cycle round so you don't cook the barrel off.
Yes, that's why I was tired. Yes.
No, you weren't. You weren't. No, you weren't. You weren't carrying up.
Look, I haven't had a home-cooked meal in 2.5 weeks, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry. You didn't have a home-cooked meal. What kind of meals have you had?
We're eating this slop. They're serving in the cafeteria.
Oh, my goodness. You're eating the slop in the cafeteria. Son, I didn't see a cafeteria as soon as the ground war started. I saw an MRE.
Okay, that's good, too. They have brownies in them and everything.
Oh, really? That's real good. They do now, but not in 91. Sorry to tell you this. In 91, we still had the dehydrated beef patty.
Yeah, that sucks. I've had that.
All right, listen, I think that what you're saying, kid, you're living in a fantasy world.
Look, Mr. Henry, you're disrespect of me.
No, you're disrespect of every veteran is what I'm concerned with. Talking about how you're sitting there, why were you tired? You were tired because it was 3 a.m. and you hadn't gotten any sleep. You needed to get back to bed. That's
He's looking for a pat on the back, and the only person that's going to get it is his roommate. You're not going to get a pat on the back. Want a pat on the back because it's there because they were called to do it. They volunteered to be there, and that's what they're trying to do.
You're welcome.
They're not asking for a pat on the back. And for you to ask for someone to say thank you, you're wrong.
Actually, thank you, Michael.
Both of you guys are welcome.
Yeah, okay, man.
You shouldn't even say that.
Yeah,
you have not the right to say that.
Exactly. We're talking to real veterans here who have seen combat.
We call it having your ass in the grass, Mr. Henry, if you're struggling for the term. Okay?
Well, you don't know what it is, man, because you haven't had your ass in the grass. You're in a military academy. You are...
You know something? Cry me a river, all right? I am at the Academy of the Military, which is part of one of the 8 branches of the service of the United States. And your disrespect for everyone who serves in uniform in the military academies of the America is wrong.
I think you're wrong.
Well, I think you're wrong.
Angela, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Angela?
Yeah.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi. Well, it's like I was telling you before, Mr. Henry. My husband is overseas right now. He's at the 151 Air Refueling Wing. And I take issue with Mr. R.C. In my opinion, if he at a military academy is considered to be an actual combatant, then anybody that's in high school in a ROTC club or class should be considered also.
No, because they're not part of the military.
Mr. R.C., may I say one thing, and then I'm going to finish my conversation, When we receive our paychecks, when my husband receives his paychecks that come directly to our house...
This lady's husband's in the military.
My husband receives an additional check for hostile fire. Mr. R.C., I doubt seriously that you are given that type of payment as well. Therefore, you are not considered...
But there's a lot of different ways. We get our payment is desserts, extra desserts and things like that because we're in high school.
And that's all good. Well, my final comment, I'd like...
We get extra credit in class.
My final comment...
Extra dessert.
Yes, sir.
My final comment, Mr. Henry, is this. I was once given a very good piece of advice from a friend that said, do not argue with an idiot. Your audience will not know the difference, and that's all I have to say.
Well, I guess that's an insult.
Oh, boy. Chop, chop. Look, we get a day pass into town on Saturday. We get 4 movie passes a month. 4. We get discounts at Tommy Burgers. A lot of stuff. Those are the kinds of hazardous pay that we get. If you're an adult, you legally have to be paid. No kid gets paid. No kids ever get paid. You get discounts, desserts, and a variety of coupons.
for hazardous duty pay?
Yes, sir. For instance, I got one here, Bobby. This frozen yogurt cup, 30 cents off.
All right.
Cadet Meeker and I, by the way, want to say to everybody listening, and I know I've been taking a lot of flack from callers who don't know their ass from their elbows. Let me tell you what. Hang on, America. We'll put this baby to rest soon. The bad man is going to take a dirt nap courtesy of the United States Military Bradley Academy branch. So don't worry about a thing, because we are all over it like stink on crap.
Oh, man.
Well, you can laugh, sir, but...
No, kid, you just, in my opinion, don't get it. Here is Matt on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, Matt, go right ahead.
Hey, RC.
Yes, sir.
We do a thing called urinalysis in the military, and you need to take one. You know what? I've been in the military for 19 years.
I don't use drugs, sir.
And I still serve.
I don't use drugs.
And I'll tell you what. I'm here, just like the rest of my buddies are in uniform, to fight for those that can't and those that won't. And we don't run around saying that we are something that we're not, which is obviously what you are.
I'm not doing that.
And somebody in uniform dying because they're a drunk driver is not the same as a guy getting killed in combat because he charged Baghdad Airport with a grenade. Because if he was in uniform and he was drunk, he's a criminal if he was, in fact, legally drunk.
Right.
Not even the same. So, you know what? You're doing a disservice to everybody that wears the uniform legitimately, and I really think you're full of it, buddy.
You know something? I'm in uniform at the Bradley Military Academy. What about these guys that aren't doing anything? I'm doing something for my country.
What is the Bradley Military Academy?
It's
I haven't even heard of it. Is it West Point? Are you contracted with the military?
Well, it's
Is this just some shake and bake school that somebody started in California?
What's that supposed to mean?
I've never even heard of it.
It's a military academy with uniforms and everything.
Doesn't matter. The police wear uniforms too, but it doesn't make them combat veterans.
Hey, most cops got more combat experience than half of you guys in your flat hats and your one button fly.
So now you're saying we're one of you guys? Are you in the military or are you not?
I'm all over this like flies on rice. And the people that say we're not are people who are jealous of
There's no jealousy. There's fact.
Yeah.
There's fact.
Right.
You are not a combatant. You are not in a combat zone. You are not a combat veteran.
Don't you agree this operation's foobar?
No. And you know what? I don't know what makes you think that you're an expert, that you can even comment on it when you're sitting in California in some school eating in a mess hall. I don't understand what you're.
I'm just saying that one brigade isn't going to hold the airport.
How much experience do you have to sit here and make any kind of commentary about a current military operation?
Look, tell me I'm wrong. The one brigade isn't going to hold
the
airport.
You are. I'm telling you, you are wrong.
Look, those guys.
I've been listening to this show for an hour, and you're wrong.
They've had their ass for 2 weeks worth of wake-ups. I just think the flat hats at command need to get down in the dirt where the grunts are.
Okay.
They don't need to. They've been there. That's why they're where they're at.
They're smoking cigars and drinking bourbon.
This whole operation has been a success, an overall success.
Well, that was adult.
And are you burping? Why? Because you can't face the facts?
That's what I do when I can't face the facts. I burp.
Apparently.
All right, look,
because
Matt,
that was about the most intelligent thing that's come out of your mouth the whole time on here.
I've been on here all hour long saying smart stuff, and you pick out the one stupid thing.
According to who?
Did.
You?
Yeah.
According to you?
You pick up the one dumb thing I said, you get a whole phone call.
Now, it was just which one did I want to pick?
Exactly.
I don't know, because I don't have much more time for this.
All right,
thank you, Matt.
I appreciate it.
I can't listen to this guy anymore. He is just, like, out of control.
Well,
he does not have a clue.
At least I'm still in uniform, and I didn't go AWAC.
Hey, you know what?
AWAC?
Anybody can go down to the Army Navy store and put a uniform on and sew some patches on. It doesn't give them experience.
Do they have
sounds, you know, what you see on CNN and what you read in the paper, hey, you know, if that's the wealth of your experience, you know, you got a lot to learn, pal.
Can you get those combat patches there?
All right,
and
listen,
I can tell you, I've been
Matt,
here for 19 years, and I have not been in a combat zone. I have trained, and I'm ready to go, but I have not been in a combat zone.
You suck.
And I don't consider myself a combat veteran.
Matt, thank you. You've made some very...
But I'm on the team, and I'm willing to go.
All right, thanks, Matt. You made a very... You made some good points, and I would say to you, RC, that while you think you're serving your country, you're disrespecting men and women who are really in combat and are not sitting around a television set eating ice cream, farting, and then going to bed.
It's FUBAR. So's your show.
Episode 127 of the Phil Henry Podcast. It's brought to you by PhilHenryShow.com, Amazon.com, Audible, and Sherry's Berries. Thank you, Sherry. And thank you, Phil Henry.